Well, this afternoon, everyone, I'd like to cover a topic that deals with a doctrine of the Church of God that all of you are pretty much familiar with, and it has to do with clean and unclean meats. Most of us are familiar with that. But we're going to explore that a lot further than maybe any of us have thought about in reality, because, you know, the doctrine that teaches us about clean and unclean meats that is spoken of in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 actually carries a much deeper spiritual lesson for us to learn. And please remember Romans 15, verse 4, which I've used many a time and will continue, because it says, all these things that are recorded in Scripture are for our learning. So all of us are here to learn. None of us have the answer to all things. Only God does. And we have to look in deference to Him for guidance and help through His Spirit to be able to understand some of these shades and nuances and to be able to discern carefully what the Bible is trying to transmit. We've just come through a wonderful Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread season. And we learned some very wonderful things during that time. We learned that without a Messiah, a wonderful Savior that God provided, none of us would have a future. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Following that marvelous acceptance of that Lamb of God by all of us, pledging our allegiance to God that we want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and not into the ideas of men, because that's floating around today. It says in the Scriptures, you know, don't be tossed to and fro by many winds of doctrine. And there's a lot of people today that want to be self-styled ministers. Everybody's got their own idea about things. God is the one we look to. He's the one, through His Spirit, will guide us through His Word. Now, it's important then that the ministry remind us that the days of unleavened bread were given to us again in the plan of God for what purpose? That something has got to go out of our lives. And that something that has to go is unacceptable with God. What God wants is something to replace the what is unacceptable and to replace it with something that God can put His stamp of approval on and bless us with His Spirit. And that wonderful something that is to be placed into our life is called the bread of life, and that is Jesus Christ. That's why we kept the days of unleavened bread. Why do we eat it for 7 days? We're reminded again for the very specific purpose. We want to ingest the character, the spirit, the mind, the attitude of Jesus Christ. We want to be conformed to His image. Because if we're not conformed to His image, then all we've got is our worthless image. And our righteousness is like worthless rags, the Scripture reminds us. And we have to have the righteousness that God has provided through Jesus Christ. So unless you have Christ, you have no righteousness whatsoever. All you have is your own carnal righteousness, and it is like filthy rags, God says. It doesn't impress Him. What God wants to see, He wants to see the Son of God in each and every one of our lives. He wants the Spirit of God to shine in our lives because we are followers of Jesus Christ. He is the vine, we are the branches. And we are supposed to radiate everything He stands for, and that's what we are learning by studying and embracing the Scriptures. And that becomes most important to us, never to allow anything to come between us and our great God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And men always tend to want to put themselves between people and God. And Revelation talks about the Nicolaitans, that thing which I hate. And there are religions that do that. There's one major religion that has a certain group of ministerial teachers. And what do? You have to confess to them instead of confessing to God. And then you get absolution from the particular individual who represents that ministerial service of that church. Well, you and I are called at a very special time in our life. God knew what He had in mind when He brought us into the world at this time. You and I are to witness to the world around us the truth of God in our generation, just as David did and all the others who have gone before. And you read that in Hebrews 11, where it talks about all the people who were the individuals who are the so-called heroes of faith. And what does it end with? Let's take a quick look at that in Hebrews chapter 11 so that we're reminded again, of our responsibility here in this wonderful calling that God has given to us at this time. All right, we take a look at Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll notice verse 39 says that all these individuals, and it lists them, and not everyone is listed, but there were many, many others. But these are some of the key ones that are listed. And in verse 39, it says, all of these individuals, having obtained a good report. In other words, God was pleased the way they lived their lives and the way they sought to do the will of God in their lives. It says they had a good report through faith. Meaning, again, as Hebrews 11 and verse 6, they recognized the hand and power of God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you just read back, just hold your place there and go back in the chapter, and you will see in verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if people are not going to put their faith and confidence in what God has outlined in Scripture, then people are just going through the motions. Many of us were going through the motions years ago and thought we were very religious until God called us and showed us, you're way off track. And boy, it was a blockbuster to us. You know, you mean I'm not going to go to heaven in the way I thought I was going to go to heaven? You mean the kingdom of God is coming here? Well, isn't that what the Lord's Prayer said? Pray thy kingdom come. Didn't say thy kingdom stay where it is and we'll be there shortly. Didn't say that. But we look carefully at Scripture and it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Because here's what you and I have to do. You have to come to God, and you must believe that he is, that all of this stuff did not happen by accident. All of this creation is a marvelous testimony, from the flowers that are just so beautiful and just here today and gone tomorrow. And like Jesus said, Solomon, who was dressed in regalia that absolutely would have blown you away when you saw the splendor of this King Solomon at the height of his glory, and yet he says he can't compare to those beautiful flowers that were out there that God had created, he says, that are here today and gone tomorrow. Makes us stop and think. This world didn't happen by accident. It's a glaring affirmation of the hand of God. And it goes on to say, you must believe that he is, and notice that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means you have to make each and every day count in your relationship with God. You don't diligently seek God one day a week. You take him with you every day of the week, but you look forward to this day when you have that special meeting with God, because this is a holy Sabbath. It is a divine summon and command to come before him so that we can worship him in spirit and in truth. So now back to the rest of Hebrews 11, verse 39. These having a good report through faith, notice all of them received not the promise. All of them are in the grave, resting, waiting for the opportunity when they will hear that voice and the call and the trumpet from God, and the resurrection will take place. And verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us who have been called to the knowledge of these things, that bring us into the same framework that all of these people who have went before in past generations, it says that they without us should not be made perfect or complete or mature, however you want to look at that. In other words, this is a consolidation coming down to the final end time. And like never before, we see the signs of the end time rapidly approaching. And I've given you just a little bit in the news to show you things are moving prophetically each and every day. Every week, it seems like something's going down. And that's why you and I are told this is not the time to lay back. This is not the time to be indifferent. This is the time to stir your spirit, to draw close to God, and realize you can't change this world the way it's going. God's already seen the way it's going. But you and I are commanded to cry and sigh for the hurt of Jacob. We don't like to see what is happening. This past week, I had the opportunity for a short time to go and have some car work done. And while I was standing there talking with the young man, and he was about in his 30s, he was the man doing the work there with the car, writing up the bill, and we were talking, and he says, "You know, Mr. Martin," he says, "I can't figure this out." And I said, "Well, what's that?" And he said, "This world's going crazy." And I said, "Well, how do you mean?" He says, "I haven't lived as long as you have." He says, "But just 20 years ago, this world wasn't like it is now. It seems like everything's coming undone." I said, "You're right. It is coming undone." And that's exactly it, showing us, again, people out there don't understand what's happening in terms of why is it doing this? Why is it going this way? They haven't been told by the leadership of the nations that the nations have something else in mind. And God has already seen the end from the beginning, and he has told us in his word how this thing is going to play out. Well, now going back into the Old Testament, and remember, the Old Testament is very special to us, and it preserves some very important information. That's why Paul went back to it. Remember the apostles, or should I jokingly say the emissaries of God? If we had that kind of Bible, we'd have to use that terminology. No, I'll stick with apostles. The apostles of God and Paul, the apostle, said what? He said that all those things that happened were written for our learning. So every time we read the Old Testament, you and I are supposed to learn something from it. We get bits and pieces here and there. We don't get it all at once. But that's why we study, to show ourselves approved to God. One of the key areas that really should give us a glaring example of how wrong things are in the so-called realm of religion today and Christianity is because nobody talks about the abomination of desolation. And yet when they talk about Matthew 24, they say, you know, this is the time of the end, and many of the different groups might sometimes refer to that and say that this is what some of these things might be. But when they get to the abomination, what do they say? Well, they just talk about it in a broad general sense. But what did Jesus say? If you really want to know, you have to go back to the book of Daniel to study that, to find out about it. Because there was a forerunner of this abomination many, many years back in time. And what ended up happening at that particular time is recorded for our learning, because something on a grander scale is going to happen in the end time, just prior to the time Christ returns. And so we're given that instruction so that we can be watching and praying and looking and seeing certain things as it comes on the horizon. Now, the thing that's so funny is that many, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say they're sincere. But I'll say they're sincerely wrong. Many who stand up there and tell the people that the Old Testament is done away. You've seen me hammer this Old Testament back and forth and back and forth, and I'll continue to do so. Why? Because the New Testament is the fulfillment of what was prophesied in all these many areas of the Old Testament. And so when we're talking about the subject of clean and unclean food, which is a doctrinal teaching of the church, that's not all it is. There's much more there. And I've entitled this sermon, actually, The Law of Clean and Unclean. The Law of Clean and Unclean. Not necessarily just meats. Because meat is important, and we'll see in a little bit why God speaks that way. But what is important to understand, when it talks about the law of clean and unclean, the term unclean actually could be better put, the law of clean and that which is unacceptable. Unacceptable to God. That's why it's unclean. And God does not want any of us as his children to be unclean or be in a condition of being unacceptable. He wants us always to be acceptable in his eyes. We know then that the codification of clean and unclean meats is found in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. You're familiar with that if you've been in the Church of God for a number of years. And notice, if you will, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. as we look at some of the New Testament application here, we find out there's something very important with regard to this admonition of clean or unclean. In verse 16 and 17, 1 Corinthians 3, it says, "Know you not that you as individuals, are the temple of God?" We're likened in the Bible as a spiritual organism. And just as there was a physical temple in Jerusalem in the days of David and Solomon, and the building of Solomon actually is what it was in his reign, because David just provided all the resources, but it was Solomon who actually did the work, who provided the greatest house of prayer in the entirety of the world. It's supposed to be for all nations, ultimately. Now it said, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Now this is, again, very important. If God's Spirit is in you, what is God? God is a holy God. The book of Deuteronomy, I believe, tells us that God is holy and He wants us to be holy. Christ, again, is doing what with the church of God? He's providing that the church and presenting it to God the Father as a chaste virgin, clean and wholesome, with not any spot or blemish. All right, notice verse 17. "If any man, any woman, defile the temple of God." So here we are told that it is very important that we don't do anything that would bring a defiling. It says, "to the temple of God, him shall God," notice, "destroy, for the temple of God is" what? Is it clean or is it unclean, unacceptable? It's supposed to be holy, which means clean, acceptable. "Which temple you are." Now that's why, again, our life is a life of overcoming, because we are having to have God's help and His Spirit to help clean up our lives and get rid of all the things that are unacceptable that have stamped our character. Because it has to be replaced by the character of Jesus Christ. And that's a life of overcoming, dear brethren. That's not something we just do overnight. So we're told not to be discouraged, but we're told to understand that this is a lifelong situation of guarding ourselves so that this spiritual temple, which temple you are. See, the physical is a type of the spiritual. And we learn many spiritual principles from the physical things that God has outlined. Now, when we come to this subject here, we realize, again, we cannot afford to pollute the temple. So what does that mean? That means taking, and people will say, "Well, I don't see smoking in the Bible. It's not there." But would you agree smoking pollutes your lungs? It sure does. And if it pollutes your lungs, what does that do? Turns them black. God didn't intend for them to be black. He intended them to be rosy pink. And when forensic men go in, and they can tell, they open a person up, and the coroner can look and say, "Well, this person is a smoker." Now, how would he know? The guy's dead. He takes one look at his lungs and says, "He's got charcoal lungs. This guy's been smoking heavy during his life." Now, the most beautiful thing about what God has designed with the human body is when you stop smoking, if you've been a smoker, the body begins to cleanse with the marvelous capacities that God has given. And if you drink a lot of water, good water, not polluted water, because there's a lot of that out there today, but if you drink good water, water is the only thing that will go into your body as God has designed it that can get into every cell of your body and to remove impurities and things that are hurting your body. It can keep you in a right and proper state of health. Now, that has to be carefully monitored, because today a lot of people don't like water. They say, "I just don't like water." Yet look how God created things, and the world we live in is 3/4 water out there on the oceans. Your body is made up a large percentage of water. And if you take the water as it is designed to do, it can do wonders to help clean your body and help give you more vitality and energy of mind, body, and spirit. you'll feel better because, again, you're flushing out the impurities, the physical impurities that are hurting your body. Now, from time to time, we've all experienced things when you've gotten foggy-minded. You just feel tired and dragged out and so forth. So you need sleep. You need good food. You need plenty of water to keep flushing out the bad elements. All of this is part and parcel, again, of why it says the temple is holy, which temple you are, and you don't want to do anything to defile this temple. People who get hooked on alcohol. Well, if you're drinking any type of alcoholic beverage, it needs to be in small amounts. It does not need to be in anything where you're just guzzling, like some people get into a bar and they not only drink beer, they drink whiskey with it. And they, you know, take a shot and then a beer chaser and they have what they call boiler makers. And a lot of people burn out their livers. And if you burn out your liver, once that's gone, you're gone. Because that liver is absolutely marvelous. And so you've got to take care of the body. You know, isn't it interesting that all of us, and we've all done this, we're all human. We've all made these mistakes. When you're in your early years, man, you just think you can just do anything. You can bounce around and you can keep going. And you can, because, you know, man, I'm indestructible. Years go by fast and quick, and all of a sudden the slowdown begins. The slowdown. The slowdown. Finally, where's the chair? You know, and this is what happens as the years go by. This is why a body in motion stays in motion. We're told to keep moving, do something. I was noticing a captured war film not too long ago about the Japanese and how they were exercising and just simple things when they were working with their men. We can all do things like this. If you've ever thought about doing simple exercises like this. Out, in, out, up, up, down. What is the purpose of this? What were they doing all this? To keep yourself limber so that you didn't lock up. You don't have to have super heavy exercise. There are people that want to run you heavy. No, 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 no. As you get older, you don't need to lift 80-pound weights. All you need to do is take 20 pounds and just do a few more repetitions. But get some exercise. They're finding out people now, and even some of the professional medical people, can't remember his name right now, but one of these individuals I heard recently, he was giving a commentary, and he was saying that when you even become 70, you can be like 40, and you can be like 60, can be like 30, if you do certain things a certain way. The point in question here, again, how can you do that? Only if you're dressing and keeping and taking care of the temple that God has given you. If you overdo in any given area, it can work against you. What God wants us to do is not to use anything that would be hurtful against this temple. That's what's so important. But you and I live today in a defiling age. There's a lot of things that defile us mentally, emotionally, physically. And so we need to be very, very much alert. And many of our young people need to learn these lessons as quickly as possible because they're going straight into the morass of all this terrible, terrible pollution that is coming down on this world. The Bible gives us the example that we eat unleavened bread for what purpose? Because we want to get rid of sin and we want to bring Jesus Christ, His holiness, into our life. And that's, you have to really work at that. That just doesn't happen. And so it's an individual responsibility we all have. Now, he gave us an example in the Old Testament of what was referred to as sacrifices. And the sacrificial system has an awful lot to portray and teach us how Jesus Christ, step by step, fulfilled his role as the Messiah of mankind. Now, today, a lot of people say, well, you know, you don't need to even study those Old Testament sacrifices. But you know, the truth of the matter is, if you don't understand them, then how can you say Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of it? Because those sacrifices were to point to Him. And as they pointed to Him, this is why you had the dove sacrifice and you had other clean animals that were brought into play that were there, such as goats and sheep and bovines and dove. You know, we don't go back and study a lot of that, but to make a long story short, all of that was given to help the Israelites understand that they were to be looking for a Messiah who would come in the future. We now look back on the Messiah that came and fulfilled all those sacrifices. And so that's why Jesus can stand at the right hand of God the Father as our high priest and Savior, because he has standing in the, he has legal standing in the eyes of God the Father. He fulfilled all those scriptures. You know, even in man's court of law, a judge will say, what's your standing here? What is it? Well, how do you base this? And if you don't have something to base it on, as we say, legal standing, the judge will say, this is inadmissible, I throw it out. So you and I have a wonderful Savior at the right hand of God the Father, and what he has done, he's given us certain things, and he's shown us that by eating certain things and not eating other things, they teach us great lessons. Now, this thing went way back. You know, it started actually when you go back in time. It started back there in, with Adam and Eve and their sons, Cain and Abel. You remember the story? We're given these stories for a lesson. And what was the story? That in the process of time, here comes God's request that he wants a sacrifice to be made. And he says, I want a lamb. Why? Because it was to portray something in the future, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, Cain came, and what did he bring? Vegetables. Probably a beautiful arrangement of vegetables, you know, and what he had done. But that didn't portray the sacrifice of Christ. So he didn't do what was right in God's eyes and was rebuked for it and told if he did it the right way, he'd be received. But he got angry and he got upset, and you know the rest of the story. But Abel, he was righteous. Now, what defines righteousness? Psalm 119, 172, all thy commandments are righteousness. So if God the Father sits down and explains to them, I want a sacrifice now, this is something I want to teach you fellows, and he began to explain what was required, Abel, he responded properly. Cain did not. Human beings today either respond properly or they do not. The choice is individually given to every human being. Now, it didn't end there, because as time moved along, we came to what is called the Noachian flood. And you remember that there was something supposed to go on that ark. And what was supposed to go on that ark? Well, according to the scripture, it tells us that Noah had to take a certain amount of animals on that ark that were referred to as clean, and then there were others that were unclean or, in this particular, unacceptable in relationship to what they represent. Now, God creates all creatures. He's responsible for all creatures, but he's the one who determines what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. So if God says, I want you to sit down here and have a nice meal tonight. I want you to have some lamb chops, and over here I want you to have another plate, and here's a bunch of pork chops. He said, the choice is yours. He said, now I prefer you eat the lamb chops because that's acceptable, that's clean in my eyes, because of what it represents. The pork chops, no, that's unacceptable. You can eat them if you want to, but this thing is more than just a physical matter, because there are spiritual lessons to be learned. Whether we are going to walk clean or unclean, because the scripture tells us in the book of Revelation, nothing that is unclean, unacceptable, will be in the kingdom of God. You want to hear about some unacceptable behavior? It's been on the news here lately. What goes down there in Cartagena, Colombia? Here are individuals supposed to be on the very highest level of top security. And they're to protect the President of the United States from all elements that might be a threat to him. And then soon as the cat's away, the mice do play. So here they go. They go do their thing. And the hooker blew the whistle. And she exposed them. Now here, they lost their jobs. They lost their credibility. You see why God says in his commandments, you do not commit adultery. How would those individuals go back home and face their wives and children? And these mothers, these wives, their children are seeing this being blown all over the news and this type of thing. They chose unacceptable behavior, and the consequences followed. That's why you and I are told, stay in those areas where you are clean and not unclean or unacceptable. That's why certain meats are given to us to eat, because God said, this is what I want you to eat that physically will be good for you. They're acceptable for your body. These others that I say are unclean, unacceptable, they're not going to be good for you. They're going to create problems. So doctors begin to realize what? People who have been just eating a lot of the greasy type foods over the years are having all kinds of problems. What's amazing to me is that when people go to a hospital and have a bypass surgery and they go back and now they're feeling better, here comes the nurse and she brings in a plate of food and a lot of times there's pork on it. And it's the very thing that the doctors say stay away from, but they bring it in. So it's kind of a crazy world in which we live in. To sacrifice anything unclean is an abomination in God's eyes. And that's what Antiochus Epiphanes did to the temple of God in Jerusalem. He was a forerunner of somebody else who's going to come along and create another great abomination, something that is terribly unacceptable to God. So we see that, going back again to Noah very quickly, he understood. How did he know which animals were clean, which were unclean? I mean, he was supposed to bring them on the ark in certain amounts, certain pairs for the good clean ones, and then the others were less, 7 by 2s, I believe it was. And so what you have there are stories to tell you he knew something about the law of clean and unclean. Otherwise, he would not have been able to grasp and comprehend. Later in the New Testament, we find in Acts chapter 10, verse 28. Acts chapter 10, verse 28. An incident that is given to us. It's a vision. It's a vision. This whole chapter deals with Cornelius, who was a centurion of the Roman band or the Italian band. He was a devout man, one that feared God. So even though he was a Roman, he feared God, not gods. He wasn't a pantheist. He apparently was a monotheist, and he believed God, had heard something or understood. We don't know all the details, but the story goes on, and he says he did wonderful things. He gave alms. He helped. And Peter then has a vision. He's on the top of this roof, and he has this vision. And he sees this sheet coming down with all kinds of creepy and ugly things that you wouldn't want to eat. And the word is given to him in verse 13. He sees all this in verse 12, four-footed beasts. And there came a voice to him saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, some people say, well, this is how we know that we can eat anything today, because God has said all foods are commanded by God. He said, kill and eat. The only problem with that, and Peter answered it, and he says, not so, Lord. And I agree with Peter, because he understood. He says, for I have never eaten anything that is common, ceremonially unclean, or unacceptable. And what he is learning here, or what he is saying in essence, is something we should understand, because when people have used this in the past, I have told people the following. I said, if that's what you say it means, and it means we can eat anything now because God said, rise and eat, then why did Peter say, not so, Lord? Why didn't he say, thank you, Lord? Thank you. I have been wondering what pigs taste like. And I've just been wondering, and now you've given me clearance to eat any of these things. Now, he didn't say that. He says, not so, Lord. And that's what we have to remember. The unclean or the unacceptable is not so, Lord. We don't go that route. And then, of course, it says, what God has cleansed, call not common. Three times the vision is done. And Peter then in verse 26, he begins to realize when he sees, stand up, and I find myself also a man because of Cornelius coming to him and dropping down, wanting to worship him. He says, you don't do that. He says, it is something very important here in the next verse, verse 28. Latter part, he says, God has shown me that I should not call any man or woman common or unclean. The vision had to do with human beings, not physical animals or critters, whether you're going to eat them or not. So this was a very important thing that God wanted to be made clear. And some might say that this is only a physical issue. Well, it's more than that, as I think I've already shown you somewhat. And you're going to see more so of this, because this is the thing about God. God is a holy God. And you and I cannot come to him. If you and I know that we're doing something that is not right, if we're doing something that God would say, that's unacceptable, you have a hard time praying and talking to a holy God, I guarantee. You have to come to that holy God humbly, and you have to acknowledge your wrongs, and you have to ask him for forgiveness. And only through repentance and asking God for forgiveness can you receive and be granted that wonderful gift by God's hand. And God then will accept you and go forward. And that's why it says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sin. Because we know that's where you got to go when something is out of sync and not in harmony with God. Now, here's some of the reasons why the law of clean and unclean. And God says, again, what you eat is going to affect you. Sometimes people have said it's what you are what you eat. So if you eat a lot of Subways, you turn into a Subway. If you eat Twinkies galore, you're going to be a Twinkie. The truth of the matter is, you've got to stay with God's program. That's what guarantees us the best shot at maintaining good health. And none of us have done it perfectly. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've got a lot of wrong junk in there. A good example of that is an apple in a barrel of rotten apples. You all know, you've heard that story before. Take one good apple, stick it in a big old 55-gallon bucket, barrel of rotten apples. And of course, that one good apple is going to do what? All the bad apples are going to jump up and say, I want to be good like you. No, they're not. It'll be just the opposite. That good apple will not last very long. He'll be overpowered by all the bad apples. That's why you and I are told to abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't even go around it. Don't entertain it. Don't let your eyes fall on things you shouldn't be watching. Don't listen to things you shouldn't be listening to. Don't eat things you shouldn't eat. Don't touch things you shouldn't touch. Stay away from the unclean, the evil, the unacceptable. That's the admonition of God's word. We also know that that lesson is there to help us to learn, again, the law of clean and unclean. What is acceptable and what is unacceptable. And God is telling us we are to avoid all sin. What is sin? 1 John 3, verse 4. Sin is the transgression of the law. If we forget the law of God, we're in trouble. Hosea 4, 6 reminds us, it says, my people are in serious trouble. Take a look at Hosea 4 and verse 6. If you haven't looked at that in a while, you might want to mark that one down, because that really does say an awful lot as to what's going on right now. Hosea 4 and verse 6. He says, my people, the house of Israel, physically, the spiritual house of Israel, the churches of God, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the emphasis is the knowledge of the holy. And he says, because you have rejected knowledge, you've allowed yourself to go in directions that you shouldn't go. He says, I will also reject you. Oh, may God, that never happen to any of us. To be rejected by Almighty God would be the worst fate any of us could experience. And he says, and you shall be no more priests to me. So who's going to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God in the book of Revelation? Is it not those being called as first fruits in the kingdom of God, the church of God? Why we've been given this calling now? He says, seeing you will no more be priests to me. Why? Seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. And what does the law of your God say? People say, oh, the Ten Commandments are negative. No, the Ten Commandments are positive. You flip them around. All he's telling you is that the things that you might look at and say that's negative is his way of saying, stay away from the unclean. You shall have no other gods before me. What does that mean? That means stay away from all false gods of all types, whatever that might be that is your God other than the true God. What is the positive side of that? You shall worship the Lord God, the one true God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And on it goes through the commandments. There wouldn't be any problem down in Cartagena, Colombia, if they'd have remembered that one commandment that says you shall not commit adultery. And when the hookers came around, they should have said, scram, gal, get out of here. But they thought they could get away with it. They thought they could get away with it. And that's why people do sometimes what they do. They think they can get away with it. But they forget that God's eyes are everywhere. He sees the good and the evil that everybody does. And so it's important to do just the good as much as with the lies within you. And so he says, what else? Because you have forgotten the law of your God, here's the kicker that I'm very saddened to see. I will also forget your children. And I see more and more all the time of these horrific cases of children coming down with all kinds of serious problems and difficulties in our nation today. And probably the greatest thing that displeases God is the way we have slaughtered our children through abortion. That has not been acceptable in the eyes of God. And so we have to realize that there's something serious. He says, as they increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Are we better off today in the glory of the United States of America? Are we a hill, a shiny home, or what is it, a shiny home on the top of a hill, like Ronald Reagan once said, something to that effect? No, it looks like we're being shamed in the eyes of the nations. And we're not being blessed like we once were. Well, moving along, God tells us other things that are so important. And it's, again, that law of clean and unclean that is codified in the form of meats as to what's acceptable and unacceptable. God wants us to realize it has a far greater ramification. You limit yourself greatly if you think he's only talking about meat and that he's going to get all upset because you ate a pork chop. He's going to say, you're hurting yourself is what it is. I don't want you to do that. That's unacceptable. And that's what was so shocking to me, that when certain things happen in the old organization that many of us are aware of, one of the first things a lot of them did is they ran to restaurants to have some of these kind of very meals that are unacceptable in the eyes of God. Which tells me they didn't fear God. Because if God tells you to do something, he tells you to do it for a godly reason. That it may be well with you, not to hurt you. He doesn't want the bottom to fall out. That's why he tells us in Leviticus 3, verse 17, about not eating the blood or fat. You have to carve off. And yet, look at today, how many pieces of meat are corn-fed and marbleized to put that fat in there. And boy, people say, I just love the taste of that. That tastes so good. Yeah, but then when you have to talk to the doctor about something because of all that fat buildup in the system, then it creates serious problems for people. So these are things, again, they're common sense. Notice John 15. John 15. And what the Apostle John, or as the voice says, the emissary of God. It's a joke how they're wanting to change things around. beginning in verse 1, and I'm always overwhelmed by these terms that are used, because you know when Moses asked, what's your name? What am I going to tell the people about your name? He says, you tell them, I am that I am, meaning the eternal, the self-existent one. It's what it translates to. And notice how it starts out in chapter 15, verse 1. I am. So we're talking about the very one who spoke to Moses. And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He says, every branch in me that's involved with me, that follows me, that keeps my commandments, that walks in my ways, everyone that is in there bears not fruit. If we're not producing what God wants, it says he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it or creates the elements whereby it may bring forth more fruit. Now notice verse 3. Now you are clean. We're talking about clean and unclean. And notice what he says. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So God's word has what? It has a cleansing or cleaning effect upon us. It provides acceptability in the eyes of God the more we enjoy and revel in the words of God. When we just let it slide by, we lose the fire and the zeal and the understanding of what these words are all about. Jesus didn't talk just to be talking. He said, my spirit is in these words. Because the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that quickens. And God's word is filled with this marvelous knowledge and instruction. And he tells us we are not to eat things that would be detrimental to us. We see that Antiochus Epiphanes of the Old Testament, back in history, he sacrificed a swine on the altar in the temple to defile. You notice now, he took an unclean, happens to be in the very category that is spoken of in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. That's one of the unacceptable ones. That's the one Antiochus did, knowing what the Jews would normally sacrifice, and he took one of those that were unacceptable and slaughtered it on that. That defiled the temple. Then you have the story between Malachi and the start of the New Testament. You have the between the Testament period of time. And if you want to know what happened during that time, you study the books called Maccabees. They're found in the so-called Apocrypha. That means the uninspired, and the ones that have not been stamped with God's approval. But it is historically accurate, and it tells you the story of the revolt of the Maccabeans and how they fought against Antiochus and finally, with guerrilla warfare, overcame the opposition, regathered the temple once again, and then they began to cleanse the temple. Notice, they didn't defile it. They had to cleanse the temple. And when they cleansed the temple, you and I now know it as Hanukkah. That's the celebration of the cleansing of the temple among the Jewish people. It's not a Jewish Christmas, by the way. A lot of times people will say that's a Jewish Christmas. That's not true. But see, they don't know anything about the temple. If you don't know, and this is true of all of us, if we don't know something about having a background in certain things, then we're only dealing with bits and pieces. Probably the best thing any of us can do today, and we are blessed, to whom much is given, much is required. If we got a question about anything, it's only a click away. It's called the internet. Ask a question, and I don't know how they do it, dear brethren. I cannot figure out how they know about Joe Verschmagen way back there in the 1500s and what he did. But if you want to know something that's going on in our country today and see some very shocking things that are nothing, as God says in his word, there's nothing new under the sun. Punch in there the word Machiavelli. Punch in the name Machiavelli and see what you come up with. And then look around and see what's going on in the world and in our own beloved United States. And you will be shocked. You will be shocked at what you see. Machiavelli. Don't forget that name. He wrote his book called The Prince, and he told about how this prince was to rule through deception and every kind of intrigue necessary to keep power and control. And power and control seems to be the driving factor in so many today. All right, moving along, remember, we are told even in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, during the days of unleavened bread, we were reminded what? That a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's those like the apple. If you just have a little leaven, which represents sin, if you let a little of that get into your life, it can start to ferment and cause some serious problems. And God says, do not let that happen. So what are we learning? We're learning that the physical things that exist teach us about spiritual things. Spiritual things. And so we learn from that. And that's why eating the unclean is not what God recommends, because when you eat the unclean or that which is unacceptable, you are actually defining your character by saying, I know you say that, but I'm going to do this, which means your character is being stamped with rebellion and a sinful nature. That's what we're doing to ourselves. That's why Satan has deceived the whole world. They have not a clue. People don't want to do the wrong thing. They just don't know what the right thing is because they've never been told. And then there's so many deceiving elements out there working against people that we live in a polluted age, brethren. How many years back do you remember before you started hearing the word pollution? Pollution. Well, there was a time you never heard the word pollution. Now the food's polluted. That's why you can't go to a restaurant and eat tilapia. Why? The Chinese, how they grow that stuff is not very good when you do a little homework. And there's other things. Remember all the dogs that started dying because of the dog food that came from China? You have to ask yourself, what's going on in China? A lot of things that are causing serious problems. And so today, we're being chastised for being a pollutant with our carbon units. Nobody says boo about China, which is the greatest polluter today. It's like they don't exist. So it's a world again. God emphasizes this very important position here. He wants us to understand something. I don't want to miss this point here. These are four points I'd like to emphasize within this sermon. First, it is to develop the habit of obedience. That's why God says it. He wants us to develop the habit of being clean, not unclean. Number two, it teaches us that there is a difference between what is holy and what is profane, or the sacred and the profane. And today, people don't know what that difference is because they've never been taught that. Third, it teaches us that we must actively seek to purity and holiness and to avoid all pollution of sin if we're to have a relationship with God in Christ. Now, we live in a world where they say, you know, God will just accept you just as you are. And God says, no way, Jose, I'm not going to do it. Except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. I'm not going to take you any old way you want to come. Cain found that out. Others have found it out down through time. The last point, the fourth point, it is a test. Just like the Sabbath is a test. Eating clean or unclean foods, the doctrinal teaching, basically has a physical application, but it has a spiritual application. And that application is, do you think you're going to spend eternity as a human being who has been changed into a spirit being, if God were to do that, and you would live in an unclean state with God? No. No, not at all. God is going to test everyone to see whether or not they are going to desire the forbidden, or are they going to desire that which God has outlined. Taking Christ into ourself is very important. Let's go to 1 John 2, verse 6. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. First John chapter 2, verse 6. He that says he abides in him, in other words, we're going to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ, notice, ought himself or herself also to walk even as he walked. In other words, we're committed to live the way God has said. And what has he told us? We had to come out of this world because we live in a polluted world. We have to live in it, but we have to avoid as much of the pollution as we can. It's a constant responsibility because today's world, everything is defiled one way or the other. Satan is the ultimate defiler. He is a picture of rebellion and sin. He is an unholy and unclean individual. And remember that when Jesus had certain contact with unclean spirits, notice he didn't say they were clean, he said they were unclean. These were unacceptable spirits. These were fallen spirits of rebellion and had to be cast out wherever they were creating problems and difficulties for the individuals Christ was dealing with. You and I need Christ and his sacrifice to atone for our sins, to cover our shortcomings, because we have many of them. We have to do our part to the best of our ability, but we must not neglect the weightier matters of the law. In other words, our emphasis should be on spiritual things, but not to forget the physical obligations we have. Some people lay back and say, well, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, people used to go overboard. They wanted to have, you know, can't have this. You got to have no white bread. You got to have only whole wheat bread. Well, that lacks some balance. But at the same time, you want to find the best possible. You know, there was a time on advertisement, it was called Wonder Bread. You remember Wonder Bread? It's a wonder anybody survived on that stuff. Because it did not have anything that was really nutritious in it. It was just plain white bread. And they tell you that if you consume just a lot of white bread like that, what it does, it literally sticks within the lining of your stomach. It's almost like glue in some of those areas. And so it's important, again, to get the balance of what God is talking about when it comes to food, when it comes to drink. He says, let your moderation be made known to all people. This is a very important principle, brethren. It's not just, again, are you eating a steak or are you eating pork chops? That's not the study of what Leviticus 14 or Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 are all about. They are physical examples telling you don't do things to injure or defile the temple of God, which temple you are. Do all you can to maintain the highest standard of God because you are worshiping a holy God. And God wants you to be holy in your mind, in your body, in your spirit. He wants you to walk with him in all these areas so that one day you can be in the kingdom of God. Let's take a look now in the book of Revelation, one final scripture. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 12. Well, actually, let's back it up to verse 11. As time moves on, and this is, we are admonished in the scriptures to redeem the time, for the days are evil. In the book of Ephesians, I believe you'll find that. And he says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Notice. And he that is filthy, or alternate translations will say morally defiled. They're not living a morally high and right life. It says, let him be filthy still. That's the way he chooses. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Why is this important? Because time flies, brethren. Would you and I believe that it's 2012, nearly moving toward half the year gone already? It's just, sometimes I feel like I'm just standing still and everything's going whoosh, whoosh, whoosh past me. I don't know if you feel that way, but it just seems like things are accelerating on all sides. That's why it's important to, in your patience, possess you your soul and keep a cool head in some very trying times. He says, behold, verse 12, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. Now that has to do with reward that's going to be passed out. That's not the gift of eternal life. Remember, eternal life is the gift of God. You don't earn that. But what you've done as far as working out your own salvation in this life will produce certain rewards in service in the kingdom of God. And he goes on and says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they, notice, that do his commandments. And don't let anyone tell us not to do his commandments, that they may have right or access to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, what happens if people want to live an alternate lifestyle contrary to God's holy lifestyle that he offers us? Notice, for without, outside the city, are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loves and makes a lie. And oh, we live in a lying and defiled world. He says, I have sent my angel to testify unto you these things to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Well, there you have it, brethren. There you have it. The doctrine of clean and unclean meats is just a portion of what the whole subject is all about. And I hope you've learned a little bit more today as we have expanded and gone into more of the meat of the subject, because it's not just physical, it's spiritual as well. And we mustn't never forget that, or otherwise we lose sight of the big picture. And when we lose sight of the big picture, we get lost in the fog. May God help each and every one of us to stay on that straight and narrow path.